It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us, but also really excited to welcome longtime Niners insider Jennifer Lee Chan from NBC Sports in the Bay Area. Seems like there's been a lot of twists and turns to this path for Brandon Ayuk over the last day or so. What's the latest, Jennifer?
My colleague Matt Maiocco did find out that there are trade formats in place for Brandon Ayuk to either go to the Cleveland Browns or to go to the New England Patriots. The ball is in Brandon Ayuk's court, and he has not made a decision on whether he is going to go to either of those teams or if he's going to stay with the 49ers. So it's all up in the air, and it's really all up to Brandon Ayuk. I mean, the two teams have agreed to terms, and it's just up to him to either sign the contract or say he's staying with the 49ers. It is the most bizarre thing I have witnessed since I started covering the team.
And why is that? How did it get to this point?
Listening to him on the Pivot podcast, he was kind of all over the board. He was like, yes, I want to stay with the 49ers. It's the best place for me. No, if it means that I have to leave to make, you know, the most money as the top wide receiver in the league, then I'm going to leave. He was all over the board. Yes, this is the best place for me. Kyle Shanahan is the best coach. No, I'm going to leave because I want to play with his college quarterback. He wants to play with the Steelers. He wants to play with the Commanders. But now that they're not on the table anymore. So the Pittsburgh Steelers are out. Washington Commanders are out. Because ultimately, if the 49ers are going to deal Brandon Ayuk, they want to get a player in place because they are primed for going back to the postseason. Trading away Brandon Ayuk and not getting anything in return other than draft picks really hurts their prospects. So they've got young wide receivers on the roster, but it hurts their prospects. So they want to get a player in return. So the terms are with the Browns. If Brandon Ayuk decides to go there, the Browns would trade Amari Cooper in his place. Now, the Patriots, you know, for them, they would trade back. I think what it would be is Kendrick Bourne would come back to the 49ers. Now, he's coming off an ACL, so they would have to trade a little bit more draft picks than the Cleveland Browns. But all of these things are in place. And I would think if Brandon Ayuk wants to play with those teams, he would already have signed and gone.
As best you can tell, what is his primary motivation?
It's hard to say. I think he's got to make a choice of whether he wants to stay with the 49ers and maybe play for another Super Bowl, because his chances of going to the Browns or the Patriots, I think, are, you know, a lot less that he'll play in the postseason if he goes there. And then also there's the pressure of, like, okay, if he goes to the Patriots or the Browns, he is the guy. He is wide receiver one. Now, he is wide receiver 1A, 1B with Deebo Samuel, and, like, you've got Christian McCaffrey, you've got George Kittle, you've got Kyle Juszczyk, you've got this star-studded team. When you go to those other teams, if he goes to the Patriots or the Browns, he is the guy. Everyone will be looking at him to be making the plays, and he's obviously capable, but he's also losing time right now. He's not in their system. He's not in training camp learning the timing of the quarterbacks or the verbiage of the system. So he's losing time every day that he doesn't decide to go or whether he decides to stay. It's a crazy situation. And really, I would think if I was in his shoes, I'd be like, okay, if the 49ers make it to the Super Bowl and I'm with the Browns, I've got a lot of FOMO because I could have been there, right? For maybe a little less money. But how often do you go to the Super Bowl on a team? I mean, like, it's really hard for a team to make it that far. So I'm sure all of those things are weighing on his mind.
Jennifer Lee Chan is with us even as the news is unfolding about Brandon Ayuk and the San Francisco 49ers. And she covers the team now for over a decade for NBC Sports in the Bay Area. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Forgive me if this is the wrong way to characterize it. It seemed as though the Niners were dug in. Why did they cave on Ayuk and giving him a trade if that's what he wanted?
They were almost agreed. I mean, he said it on the Pivot podcast. He was getting his suit on. He was ready to go. And then, you know, they had a deal in place and then they didn't. So I don't know whether his demands are more than what they can handle. I mean, they do have to pay Brock Purdy next year. They did re-up Christian McCaffrey. They have Trent Williams that's holding out. So there's a lot of balls in the air for the 49ers. So I don't know how much they can give to Brandon Ayuk in this situation. I would think that maybe there's still a deal on the table, but, you know, at one point they were really close to getting it done. And then I think it was Brandon Ayuk that said, no, I don't think that's what I want.
Hmm.
Exactly.
It's interesting because you don't generally have a team that's willing to wait like this for a player to figure out what he wants. As best you can tell, are the Niners just going to wait it out?
I think they would love to have him on the team, and really, they can't do anything. I mean, you know, they can agree to the trade with the Browns, but Brandon Ayuk has to agree to sign the contract, because if they trade him, he's only under contract for 2024. So without a long-term deal in place, that would not be ideal for the Cleveland Browns. So if he doesn't sign a long-term contract with the Browns, they aren't going to go through with the trade. So all of these pieces have to be in place for it to actually go through. So it really is all on Brandon Ayuk right now, whether he decides if he's going to play for the Patriots or the Browns, or if he's willing to, like, reopen the negotiations with the 49ers to stay. And, you know, I would think that the 49ers know that paying Brandon Ayuk $14 million is underpaying him. So I would think if they, you know, want to keep him for this year, the 2024 season, I would think that they would put together a package that says, okay, if you hit these markers, you're going to be incentivized to, you know, up in the $20 million mark for this 1 year. Then they can always franchise tag him for the next year and then figure out a trade. I don't think they're asking him to play in 2024 for $14 million. Also, he has to play somewhere this year. I mean, $14 million also is more than he's made in his past four seasons with the club. So this is his biggest payday. So I would think there's some, you know, the team was willing to work with him to a certain extent, but you know, when it gets to the point when it's those high 20s, $28 to $30 million, I don't know if they can do it just because of the situation they're in with all the other contracts that they have.
Right. If in fact he's not a part of the roster in 24, what do they lose without Ayuk?
I mean, he's been such a reliable target for Brock Purdy. They're on the same page and he's been there. And you know, it's also a guy that Kyle Shanahan has worked so hard to get to where he is. I mean, he really is a product of Kyle Shanahan. So he had his rookie year was 2020. It was the COVID year. He was kind of thrown into it because Debo Samuel was hurt. And so he had a decent year. It wasn't amazing, but I think he thought that was it. He was going to automatically be the starter. So then he came back in his second year. You know, he was in the doghouse with Kyle Shanahan, and then he finally kind of turned it around. And so the second half of his second year, third year and fourth year, he's really been, you know, a vital part of the offense. You know, he is a really good route runner. I mean, he does stuff that no one else on the team does. You know, Juwan Jennings is kind of like the power guy. He's the third down guy. Debo Samuel is the guy that can, you know, also run jet sweeps. That's not what Brandon Ayuk does. He's more finesse. I mean, he's the one guy who's a finesse route runner on the team. So, I mean, they have a rookie in Ricky Pearsall, but he's not to the level of Brandon Ayuk, not yet anyways.
Jennifer Lee Chan is with us from the Bay Area. We spent the first, what, 5-6 minutes talking about nothing except for Brandon Ayuk and still don't actually know what's going to happen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Is there any other storyline that's comparable with the Ayuk, will he or won't he get traded?
Well, I mean, there's Trent Williams. You know, he's the anchor of the offensive line. If he doesn't get a deal done, I think that's a huge problem for the 49ers offensive line. I mean, they have good guys there, but Trent Williams is really the guy that leads that group. So I know that that's been kind of in play since like February or March. They've been talking with his representation, but he's still holding out. And it's also weird that, you know, Brandon Ayuk is in the building. He's holding in. So he's been around the facility. He's, you know, every move he makes has been documented. It's been on national TV, you know, the hug with Kyle Shanahan, the handshake with John Lynch. So he's been watching practice. He talked to my colleague, Dante Whitner, while they were watching practice, and he was engaged. He was watching practice, making the calls, like seeing what the defense was going to do. So, I mean, he's involved as much as he can be. He's in the classroom. He's in with the wide receivers in meetings. Trent Williams is another guy that is not even in the building. So he's a guy that they are kind of worrying about.
Does Ayuk talk to people or does he keep to himself?
Oh no, he talks to people. I walked by him on the way off the practice field. He was walking towards it and he's like, "Hey, what's up? What's up?" I'm like, "Hey, how are you?" He's like, "Good. How are you?"
Doesn't seem bothered by the whole thing, huh?
No, it's bizarre. It's totally bizarre.
When it comes to Trent Williams, where does the team stand?
they have to get it done with him. It's just, I think, working out the deal. When he signed his agreement that he's the contract that he's on now, I don't know if they knew how long he was going to play. I mean, he is an older offensive lineman. He hates being called the old guy, but he really is. He's the vet on the team. But at one point he was contemplating retirement. So, you know, those deals that are 6 years long, you know, the last 2 years are not, there's nothing guaranteed left on his deal. So right. He wants to have guaranteed money, and no one blames him, because what he does is put his body out on the line. So guaranteed money for Trent Williams is kind of a no-brainer. They just have to figure it out.
A lot of times in training camp, health is a challenge, and we hear, unfortunately, about different players tearing ACLs or blowing Achilles. How healthy are the Niners right now as they get set for their first preseason game?
Not too bad. I mean, you know, there's some young guys that got hurt. Isaac Garendo, which is their rookie running back, he got hurt. And then I also didn't see Elijah Mitchell on the field on Sunday for their third practice of the block. So they actually are going to sign Matt Breida back to the team, 8-year vet. He was an undrafted free agent with the club for the first, you know, 3 years of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan's tenure. So he's coming back. So they have a little bit of depth issues there. Another rookie wide receiver, Jacob Cowing, has a hamstring injury. So he's working his way back. So, you know, with Brandon Ayuk out, but they've got some guys there. They've got their rookie, Ricky Pearsall, Debo Samuel, obviously there, Juwan Jennings. They have Terrell Owens' son, Tariq Owens. Trent Taylor made his way back. So they have a decent amount of wide receivers, but the running back position, they had to add to it.
One of the things that I heard Kyle Shanahan say a couple weeks ago is that it's a blessing that Brock Purdy is healthy and they don't have to wait for him to be cleared medically, and he's able to participate in a full offseason and now a full training camp. What do you think should be the expectations for this young QB?
I mean, unbelievable that this is his first real training camp where he's getting the starting reps. So the way he's had success without having those reps is really remarkable. So I would think now, I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's hard. It's going to be hard for him to match the statistics that he put together last year because he topped the league in so many different categories. But he's actually getting reps now. So he's getting time with the team. He's, you know, getting, and reps are so valuable for, you know, a player that's in their third season or second and a half season, really, when you look at how Brock Purdy's been in the league. So, I mean, I would think that he can only get better. And, you know, his processing is kind of one of the things that he's really good at. And there's talk that his arm strength is better just because from the UCL, he's learned how to use his body more to get more power out of his arm. So I know there's some limitations on him size-wise, arm strength-wise, but he's really one of those guys that really kind of defies the odds because he works so hard at it. There's been comparisons to him and Drew Brees, and it's something that you kind of think about when you look at him because he just puts the work in and he's such a great guy to cover, you know, solid guy that is very great to talk to and, you know, great for the locker room. They all love him.
Mm. Jennifer Lee Chan is with us from the Bay Area talking about the 49ers. And it's not just Brandon Ayuk, though right now that's casting a bit of a shadow over camp. On the other side of the ball, what changes with Nick Sorensen as defensive coordinator?
Not too much. I mean, he's been around the building, so he knows the guys. You know, the things, you know, you talked about injuries. I didn't mention the fact that Dre Greenlaw is going to miss probably 4 games. So they've got Devondre Campbell there to fill in next to Fred Warner. And then Talanoa Hufanga has been on the field, so he's kind of trying to make his way back. Goal is to be there week one. Nick Sorensen knows these guys. I think one of the interesting additions to this defense is Brandon Staley. So Staley's been around. He's been really hands-on with a lot of the defensive backs and safeties. And I think, you know, sometimes guys are more cut out to be coordinators and position coaches than they are head coaches. And I think, you know, I spoke to him actually today and he said, yes, it's so much fun to really get to coach these guys. Head coach, he said, he used the word global. Being a head coach is global, but getting down into it, you know, getting his hands on players and really seeing the results of what he's worked with them on has been really gratifying for him.
Did you cross paths with Patrick Willis when you first started covering the team?
Yes, yes. Love Patrick Willis. I actually, one of my first forays into covering the NFL was covering Patrick Willis's pro camp, where he had about 300 kids at a high school, and he was going around to each group, you know, try to work on drills with kids from age 5 to age 12. So, I mean, he's just such a great guy. And to know what adversity he faced in his life, you know, being the big brother to his younger brother and sister, and, you know, getting him out of the house where there was an abusive father and raising them, and then the tragedy of losing his brother who drowned. I mean, just everything that he's faced in life, and he's just such an amazingly wonderful person, because I think people in that type of situation can either go down one path where they, you know, are just angry at the world forever for the situation that they've been dealt, or they go the other way. And that's what Patrick Willis is. And he's just such a stand-up guy and so much fun to talk to. And man, changed the way the linebacking position was played. So, I mean, I think he really deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm so happy for him.
One of those situations where he's a better man than he is player, which is saying something about a Hall of Famer. As we move forward then, Jennifer, are you even allowed to sleep? What happens if news breaks while you doze off?
I am going to sleep. We have another day of training camp tomorrow. So Kyle Shanahan's going to address the media. That should be very interesting. So.
Ooh, glad that we got the lowdown, though, especially since it's up to the minute. Thank you so much. At Jennifer Lee Chan, and she covers the Niners now over a decade. So she's entrenched there for NBC Sports in the Bay Area. It's always good to catch up with you. We'll be looking for these reports about Aiyuk. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, Amy. Great to talk to you.
Up to the minute. That's what you get when you listen to After Hours. We always have the best guests. We're glad to get Jennifer, especially after a really busy Monday. Online at A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, too. We're asking you if...